Welcome to the Business with Beers podcast. This is the place where we help entrepreneurs expand their business, build their wealth, and generate passive income. I'm your host, Brian Beers, an entrepreneur who's on a mission to inspire growth from everyone around me. Remember that you need to take the actions others won't, and you can live the life that others don't. Please be sure to check out my weekly newsletter that now drops every Thursday. It includes one quote, one tweet, one podcast recommendation, plus some business and investing insight from me. It's short and it's sweet. My goal is to provide you with just a couple gold nuggets to help inspire your growth. Go to brianbeers.com to subscribe. Hello, everyone. I am excited today to bring you Will Brown. He is the founder and CEO of Titan X, which is an artificial intelligence platform to help real estate investors find and close more off-market deals. Welcome to the show, Will.
Hey, Brian. Great to be here.
Awesome. So to provide a little context, do you mind giving us an idea of your backstory? Kind of, 18 years old, kind of to where you're at now, and kind of then we'll get into how you started this business and what it looks like today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Northern Virginia on a farm. I was very bored. You know, Game Boys, DSs, those things were just coming about. My nearest friend lived a mile away, so I spent a lot of time outside. And I'm very grateful for that. But I was very bored most of the time. And then I'd get to school and I'd find that my boredom would just be compounded at school because it was like I just kept asking questions why we needed to learn the variety of different things they were trying to teach us. I didn't feel like I got good answers. And so in my teens, I got into video games because I realized they were quicker feedback loops, right? I didn't have to wait years to see something through. I didn't have to choose to, you know, put my energy into what someone else told me was interesting. I could choose to put my energy into what I thought was interesting. Had a lot of fun with that. All of that accumulates to me at 16 years old going to a real estate investment seminar with my mom for like one of those weekend three-day seminars. And in that moment, I saw, wait a second, all the skills, all the economy aspects that I love playing in these games, I could actually do that in real life and actually make a living and actually not have to go get a job working for somebody else. That sounded too good to be true. Bottom line, I started to listen to podcasts, started to listen to Bigger Pockets podcasts. And after about 300 of those podcasts, hearing from people's stories from all walks of life, it was more so like, why not me? Rather than, am I ever going to be able to do this? It was, why wouldn't I be able to do this? And so I started to take massive action, kept reading more books, got to the point where I listened to about 1,000 hours of podcasts. When I was still in high school, my friends thought I was crazy. I was looking at like listed properties at lunch. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm not quite sure, but this is interesting to me. And then by the time high school finishes, I don't have anything really that's making money yet. I wasn't even really 18, so I couldn't even sign on the dotted line. And so I go to 1 year of college, William & Mary, pretty much exactly what I thought it was going to be. It was high school with more binge drinking. So I decided to double down, spend all my studying time, skip classes, and just actually bunker up in a library and start building my real estate investment business. And so that's how I got started into making my first calls, talking to my first couple sellers, was on that desire just to like own my own path, be responsible for my success, be responsible for my own failures, and not have it be at like some effect of the system that got me there or didn't get me there, but to take my life into my own hands.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, a lot of people play, you know, victim, or they complain, they make excuses, and there's all these reasons why not to do something. And, you know, we can make a million excuses and just sit around all day and complain. But, you know, people who are successful in life, you know, friends of ours and GoBundance, they ask that question, why not me? If they can do it, I can do it. And it's just a matter of, you know, success leaves clues and just go ahead and see what other people are doing, like the Bigger Pockets, educating yourself and be the victor of the situation instead of the victim. So that's, you know, awesome, awesome lesson for anybody, you know, young, you know, 16, 17, 18 year olds listen, especially kids of maybe some people of, you know, a path to follow. So what happened then? So you're 18, 19, I guess one, did you just do 1 year of college? Mm-hmm. And then what was your first taste then into actual real estate business?
Yeah. So I decided to, the first year was coming to an end. I'm like, okay, what do I want to do with my summer? And I met a couple of guys from the Navy at one of the local real estate investor meetups. And I said, hey, let's partner up. We bring a couple different things to the table. We don't know if it's going to work out, but let's do it. And so I move in, I'm sleeping on an air mattress and like in the hood of Norfolk, Virginia, and loving my life, waking up super early, doing, you know, miracle morning, doing all of it, drinking, you know, black coffee, doing cold showers, like all of it. I decided to go all in on this stuff. But I was the happiest that I'd ever been because my life was finally in my own hands.
Okay.
And making a lot of calls. We get a first property under contract. And it kind of just snowballs from there. You know, I don't want to bore with the details, but the bottom line was that we saw that we discovered this idea of like dollar productive activities. And I still use this to run my life and my team's life, which is that, you know, every single hour you do something, what you're doing, you could attach a dollar, you know, per hour amount to it. It's like, what could you pay somebody else to do that same thing? And there's like, you know, $0, $1, $10, $100, $10,000 per hour activities. And at the time, I found that we were spending a lot of our time making cold calls because we didn't have money. And so we were building a company off of our sweat equity. But I realized it would be sort of the similar thing. It's like, it's going to be really hard to become a millionaire being an Uber driver because you only have so many hours in the day. And so we needed to find a way to make those hours more valuable. And so then we switched to actual paid marketing, where now instead of talking to people who are like, don't ever call me again, we had people calling us that are, hey, I want to sell my property. Revelation, that made a whole lot more sense. And so immediately our dollars per hour 10x, which then led to closing more deals, which then led to the ability to invest more into the business. And we were able to scale it from there. But I would never have done it if I never broke free from like just unwilling to spend money that I didn't have. We put, you know, our first like mail campaigns and stuff on credit cards to be able to actually generate those inbound leads. So it was kind of like a taking the step without seeing the stair type of phenomenon.
Yep. Yeah, that's key. And that's something I'm continuing to work on too and coach my team around, which is there's these low value tasks that like almost anybody could do. And we find ourselves slipping into this time where we're just spending all this time doing $7 an hour tasks instead of focusing on the things that you are best fit for and the highest value. And it's really understanding what are your skill sets and can you hire, like you said, can you hire somebody? And if you can, probably not a job you should be doing. So I think that's awesome. So what did it go from there? I mean, you're growing this business, you're scaling it through figuring out, all right, I'm going to invest money into marketing. I'm going to get leads instead of me like trading my time for money. I'm going to put my money to work. This is what it sounds like the shift was. So then where does it go from there? How big does this thing get? What does the business look like?
Yeah. So first deal, like May of 2018. And then we really started getting ramped up around July of 2018. And so we're probably doing like 2 to 3 a month for a couple months. And the final quarter of 2018, probably getting up to like 4 per month. And now this is at the point where not only did I put out my dollars to get people to call in, I'm putting my dollars to have people take those calls and close deals. So I was like, okay, great. I can scale this thing to infinity because it's not actually requiring my time. Until I found myself spending my time and energy and the intelligence that I gained from talking to thousands and thousands and thousands of sellers, now just trying to train acquisition managers on how to talk to sellers and finding that I was spending time with people who then I would have to let go because they weren't a good fit and that it wasn't going to be as easy as I thought. And that training and managing people, hiring human beings is not an easy thing to do. Having them consistently produce results at a high quality, especially that's what's required when you're needing to build rapport with sellers, it was not as simple as I had thought it was going to be. Right. Well, anyone who has hired people is probably like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. There's actually a lot of systems and processes and accountability you need to have in place. Well, bottom line, I finally found some good people. I finally got them up to speed. And now we're talking about February, March of 2019. And I was doing 4 to 6 deals per month in Virginia Beach. And I was like, I can take this nationwide. Let's take this nationwide. And so I was starting to put that groundwork in place. But I was doing a couple weeks of traveling. I was doing like a Tony Robbins conference. I was doing like a M1 mastermind retreat, you know, like child program of abundance. And what was fascinating was that on the last day of this retreat, I stay an extra day with a couple friends. We rent out a place because our flight was going to be back tomorrow. And we get this place that has a hot tub. And in this hot tub under the stars, we start having a conversation. And for the first time in my life, I almost like looked in the mirror. Looked in the puddle, if you would. And I saw just how far I'd come in the last year. And I realized, you know, the unwinnable problem with real estate that I found is that, first of all, it's already all owned. All the land, all the properties. If you want to build an empire, you kind of have to build it by negotiating discounts every step along the way in a one-off way. And that bothered me because we'd spend so much time getting a deal over the finish line, closing on it. We get a check. Yay, we're happy. But then we kind of have to start over the next time, start over building new relationships. And I was like, that's going to be really hard to scale. And I have some big North Star goals, like colonizing Titan, which is Saturn's largest moon, by 2050. And I did the math, Brian. I was like, you know how many homes I'm going to have to flip and wholesale to get to Titan? I did not. It was going to take me like 70 years. And I was like, I would die of boredom. And so instead, I got to think, what's the actual problem that's there that's causing me to not make it easily like scalable? And can I solve that problem? And can I solve that problem with a technology that doesn't quite exist? You know, being 19 years old, super naive, not knowing what you don't know is the greatest advantage that I had and that I still have. Not yep. knowing what it takes, to anybody who's listening when it's younger, they're like, well, I need to go get experience to learn how to do something. And that's kind of like saying, you need to actually understand, you know, how tall the mountain is before you start climbing. But if you're committed enough and you're naive enough and you can iterate and listen to the feedback and build the team around you and learn how to, you know, use the skills of others working with you, I kind of just started hiking up this mountain and have been figuring it out as we go. And what's fascinating about that is every single thing we do now, we're working in a team where we don't know if anybody else is doing this in the world. And what we're doing is solving the problem of, say, real estate investment. And so why real estate investment is an opportunity, just zooming out all the way, yep. is because there's always going to be a percentage of people at any time that if they're looking at either getting the highest price, getting the fastest speed, or getting the most convenient transaction, they're going to be choosing more speed and convenience. Maybe they inherited it. Maybe they're going to get a foreclosure. Maybe that's a tenant that they just don't want to deal with anymore. There's a variety of different motivations. There will always be a piece of people that are need to sell their house to an investor. Mm-hmm. But most people forget that that's not an easy decision. It's not usually the first choice. And so what I found was this just like gap in the market of real estate investors who were actually seeing the people behind the houses as well. And so I was able to be extremely successful by being honest and authentic with people and actually building the relationship rather than just looking at it like a calculation on a spreadsheet. And so now with this technology, again, that problem of having to start over every single time, mm-hmm. I realized, well, what if you could actually build and invest in relationships and you focused on creating incredible experience for that seller, knowing and being empathetic that they are going to they're in some life situation that's tough. They don't have all the time in the world. They don't have all the money in the world. All the options are not available to them. And you can come in there and solve a problem for them. Yes, you're going to take a slice of their equity for doing so. They get that. Be honest about it. But what if that experience was just absolutely the best it possibly could be for them? What would that look like? That's the question we started to ask because it was so hard to focus on that while also building a real estate investment business. And there's no tools out there that were improving the experience of the seller. Not at all.
Yep. Because it's all manual, right? They get a postcard, someone calls them, someone visits their house, you know, they go back and forth. They probably criticize the house because of all these issues and why they're only willing to pay a certain amount, right? Like it's, and then like you said, they start it all over again. It's super manual, yeah. Super probably, success is probably highly determined based on the individual who's visiting the house and that you probably have really good guys who are good with the people and ones who are blunt and not very good. And so, yeah, I mean, I could totally see just because it's so people driven that, you know, that's not the case. So in that hot tub that night, what was the vision? What is the seller experience that you thought, hey, if we could create this thing that would light on fire?
Yeah, it was the vision was as large, right? Rather than it wasn't just specific to real estate. It's something I want to do for the 20, 30 years. Real estate's our initial application of this technology. This is a mouthful. It took me like 3 years to put into one sentence. But our vision and our mission is elevating consciousness. So elevating the consciousness of humanity by democratizing access to personalized superintelligence. Basically, improving the quality of the world and improving quality of well-being by giving everybody access to AI that works for them. And so I saw, what if we were to flip the script? What if we didn't build an AI for the investor? What if we built an AI for the seller that kept in touch with them, got the information, was able to engage with them over the period of months or even years. 80% of the like 120 plus deals that I did in that 18 month period came from follow-up. When I look around, most investors spend a ton of money in marketing and they have a big old hole in the bottom of their bucket. And they're not following up. And it goes back to the dollar productive activity, because what their follow-up looks like right now is just simply calling and email and text blasting in a preset way, because they only should spend their time talking to people in the front, which from the dollar per hour perspective, it kind of makes sense. However, what if this AI was built for the seller such that, let's just flip the script, the seller responds to a piece of marketing and they're able to engage and have a conversation that gets their questions answered. Maybe it handles their objections and it uncovers the actual motivation and the temperature of how hot or cold they are. I'm selling. They're asking price, the condition of property, et cetera. Then that information got passed to the investor. Information looked at it, was able to make an offer. Let's say that offer works great. They're on the track to closing. The investor didn't have to brute force call people to figure out that information. Let's say that offer doesn't work. Okay, maybe it's just not the right time. Maybe they're not ready yet. Maybe there's some uncertainty in their life that they're like, well, I don't know what we're going to do about it yet, so we're just curious. Right now, that person would get put onto like a cold follow-up and they'd get a preset generalized text message every 7 days, 14 days, 30 days. Most people don't respond. Text blasting people is just not the way to get them to respond. And so imagine if that person was actually kept in touch with a customized flow based on the information that they provided. Hey, you know, Sally Sue, just want to check in, you know, how is the probate process going? Just want to check in. What's it like? Were you able to find a new tenant? How's it going? You know, did you get the tenant out, right? Whatever their situation is, imagine if that follow-up and that relationship was able to kept being built with that person.
And that's all those questions and dates are automated through your system, not someone manually entering, all right, in 30 days, I'm going to ask them about, you know, the tenant. Like the system's recognizing what the issue is, making an estimate on time follow-up and going from there.
Yeah, all through text, right? All through text. So it's all text message based. If people are calling in on landline, they don't text, they can't currently use our system. But the thing is, when they give us that information, we have the records, we have the transcript, we associate it with that phone number, we associate it with that lead, and we can use information that's custom per seller for the entire length of seller. Even until, let's just take, you know, Sally Sue, the offer doesn't work. 6 months from the road, she says, hey, I'm ready to receive another offer. We surface that up to the investor CRM. They say, hey, you have a new task. Where'd this one come from? The AI actually works inside the CRM like a virtual employee. Say, hey, this person's ready for another offer. And now let's say it works. It goes to closing. Now, you know, our AI isn't going to stop there. It's going to continue to nurture that person even after closing by going back and seeing, did they have other properties? Checking in with them on the holidays, checking in with them again, based on the rapport that has been built, and also asking for referrals. So very few people actually buy houses through referrals because they just don't care about the seller's experience. They're only focused on that one house at a time. And going back to solving that problem, the scale problem, that's a huge leg up.
Yeah. So do you find that a lot of the sellers are investors or people that own multiple properties, not the homeowner that like lives there? Or is that, or I guess, is that determined in the AI? Hey, are you the homeowner? Or are you kind of the investor? Like, so they know if they fall into a certain bucket?
Yeah, I would say this all comes down to the investor's marketing, because usually investors who own properties are going to be a bit more sophisticated. They might have more cash on hand. They understand the market more than maybe a motivated seller would. And so it's just about who's coming in at top of funnel. But usually the time real estate investors aren't marketing to other real estate investors, because it's like there's not really a whole lot of opportunity to solve a problem for them with an offer that's going to be speed and convenience. Yeah. That's just what we found. So we check and say, you know, if it's the homeowner or an out of state landlord, is this the only property they own? Do they own multiple? Then we use that information.
Awesome. So this is the vision, and then you built it, right? Or how far along are you in this process of building this?
Yeah. So what's exciting now is we have the first stage complete, the qualification conversation that plugs into people's marketing, whether they're using mail or whether they're using a website. They swap out a phone number. They use one of the marketing numbers they create inside our system. And then when people text in, it immediately qualifies them. Now we're building the second stage, which is the CRM. And we got a couple of CRM integrations right now working on building the rest to actually drop those leads into them and continue to nurture them. such that if it's like Brian's CRM, it's reading and writing with our system when you make an offer or when you set an appointment for us to be able to use that information that you update in the CRM to alter the flow of that seller's journey, we call it. The third stage, which is going to be coming very soon here as well, is real estate investors have a ton of leads that you could call are in their cold long-term follow-up. They have no way of tapping in because they simply just can't call everybody. And so what they do is they resort to these automated spam blasting messages. They don't have relationships with these people. But we say, you, these people are at one point, sometime they opted in, they wanted to get an offer. Let our AI over time start to reach out, start to build relationships, and start to get those people back on track. From people that you've already spent the money marketing for, no additional cost. And now you're just going to be able to, we're going to reheat those leads. We're going to like microwave them, right? Yep. And then we're going to continue to nurture them as well, such that those investors who are awful at that follow-up don't need to figure out how to follow up. Because what they're able to, go ahead.
Yeah, because the system's going to ask them more intelligent questions, timeline, objection handling, like you would if you were a human, right? That's the idea. Rather than just a blast cold blanket message that maybe only applies to 10%, you're going to try to ask more smarter, specific questions that relate. Is that kind of the difference of the approach?
Yeah, it's consent-driven conversations, right? Rather than just blasting people with information and then they block your number and then you wonder why they ghost you. It's actually asking more questions like, hey, is it cool if I follow up with you in 14 days? Hey, is it cool if I follow up with you in a couple months? And then using the information that they provide to drive that. Again, actually building and showing the seller that, hey, I respect that this is not an easy decision for you. And look, we're not a good fit for everybody. But what I am committed to is making this the very best experience you possibly can have. And at the end of the day, whether you go with us or you go with someone else, we want you to go with the best offer. And so it kind of flips the script around. And the way we can get it to be that customized and the flows to be that smooth for all the different segments is because we have transparency inside the system that we built to view every single message and every single conversation that we have and our thought process behind each one. And so every time a message goes back and forth with the seller, all future messages, all future conversations we have benefit from that. And so there's no training required.
So maybe this is probably a bigger question than you probably can answer, but at a high level, how do you go about then training the system? How do you make it smarter? I know like there's machine learning, I don't know all the details, but like, can you try to dumb it down? Like, how do you take those conversations, you apply your logic to it to say, hey, this was successful, this was great, do this again, or hey, this, like, you read this scene wrong, like this is what you should do next time. Right? We know that as humans. How do you make the machine, how do you make your machine smarter?
Totally. So starting with the end in mind, you need a human being to say, hey, when we give them this question, these are the categories of, let's say, good responses, and these are the categories of bad responses, right? Plus one, minus one. And so it's able to start to build a score such that it's kind of like a game with a scoreboard. When it's having a conversation, it's going to be using a lot of, and that's what's like took us 2.5 years and now close to $2 million to develop, the actual thought process, say, okay, how are we going to create variations of asking these questions and what flow are we going to go into? But at the end of each conversation, it's going to have a score. And we as human beings look at each one of those. And we can also use our intuition to say if it blatantly did something it didn't do, or if there's a new opportunity to build a new skill, we can build that in, as well as seeing how we're improving based on that score over time.
So you're scoring, your team's taking a sample of these and scoring them and determining
every single one.
Okay, every single one. And because even in text, like there's tone, right? A voice of tone that, you know, the words may not pick up, but if you're reading it, you would understand, all right, the tone of this conversation's positive or negative or whatever, right? But obviously by scoring it, you would train it. That's awesome. I mean, tons of stuff to unpack. I mean, more than what time we got today.
Yeah.
So where do you like, I want a couple things. Let's talk about where do you think like real estate's going in general, like macro level. So you're trying to solve this bigger thing of customer seller experience. And then I also want to touch on where do you think the next application of this will go? I mean, even in my, you know, I'm in the auto repair business. I mean, we're trying to figure out how do we interface with customers more online, more digital. Mm-hmm. And I could see this totally like people texting because they want a quote on tires, and like, and it's all this, it's super manual back and forth. And so there's definitely some, I mean, there's probably millions of businesses that this applies to. So first, let's talk about real estate, and then next steps of for you of where you think this will go.
Totally. So our mission is the world's smoothest customer experience. Okay. And what that means for each industry is specific to each industry. But what that would look like for your auto repair is, imagine if you could clone yourself and you could have a version of yourself that was always there, replying back and forth to your customers, checking with your customers, as if you had an unlimited amount of time. Would you know how to train you to do that if time wasn't a constraint? Would you be able to say, hey, here's our offer, here's the stages of people at, here's what they want, here's the questions to answer? And would you be able to iterate that over time? Again, if the time was not a limiting factor?
Yeah, 100%. And like all the time, like the follow-up, like we do almost zero follow-up, but like someone in to get a price on brakes because their brakes are grinding, like they're not going to wait 6 months to get the brakes done. They're probably going to make a decision within a day or two, whether it's you or it's somebody else, like they're going to get it done. And it's not necessarily the cheapest. It's, you know, trust, there's convenience, like there's speed, there's all these, the same reasons. But it's the relationship. So they go with who they trust is going to take care of it and do it right. Not necessarily so that the cheapest or the fastest. It's, there's various factors. And even for us, like there's zero follow-up, but it's just, it's a massive number of customers and massive number of little things. So I think that's, so where do you see it going next then? Like what's your next, once you solve real estate, at what point do you move on, or is it you're to stay in real estate until it, you feel like you've like nailed it?
Yeah. So there's a lot of sort of build your own chatbot companies out there, but the reason nobody uses them is because they don't work, because it is almost like training a person. And so our goal is to not only prove out this concept, but to build the greatest experience for real estate investment for sellers, and then to move that to retail real estate for people wanting to sell with agents.
Okay.
Because I go back to auto repair, how long on average, how many years do brakes last, or how many miles?
Couple years, 4 years, couple 5 years maybe.
Right?
Same for tires, same thing, five years.
Awesome. And so what if every single time somebody came in, now they're on a 4 to 5 year timeline and they're on a nurture sequence along the way, and you were to give them offers, you were to give them referral incentives, things like that to refer their friends, and all that was automated. How many more people would come in through the door? That's what the opportunity looks like. It's taking the intelligence of knowing the reality of your customer's situation and embedding that into a nurturing sequence that people actually want to be a part of, that's actually valuable to them and natural to them. And so that's what we're building for real estate sellers, right? For off-market sellers, and then for on-market sellers, for people, for probably property management, mortgage, all these tangential industries. And then by that time, we're going to have millions of conversations, and it's going to be extremely difficult to stump the bot, if you will, to stump the AI. And it'll be a very low lift for you to be able to train it, because it's already going to come in pre-trained. Just like if you were to hire a customer service rep in your business, they're already going to come in knowing how to communicate. They're already going to come in knowing best practice. And now you just give them a couple pieces of training to make it specific to your business.
Yep. Yeah, I definitely could see in real estate, like you said, you go to retail, you already know the lingo. Once you go to mortgage, I mean, it's, you're just another step in the process that, you know, you can help tie it all together. And then help the business owners. They can handle more customers, right? Because they're spending more time doing the highest value task, which is whatever, putting the mortgage together, versus the lowest value task, which is like probably answering emails back and forth or questions and, you know, the admin stuff.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. So what's your bigger like future of the world? I mean, you want to colonize the Saturn, and maybe you could talk about that, but what's your future of the world in your vision?
Yeah. My vision is that we can communicate with businesses in the same way that we communicate with each other naturally, right? The amount of friction, involved in saying changing, you know, starting service for a utility company should not be the sore spot of my day. And if you look at who are the people that have one customer service, it's Amazon, right? Two buttons and the thing shows up on your door two hours later. It's still magical to me.
Yep. And there's no phone number. You can't call Amazon.
Exactly.
It's a form and they just auto credit you or give you a UPS receipt and like you're done. You know, there's no phone numbers.
100%. And so being able to give people back their time by being able to give them the ability and the freedom to text, to book a flight or to get a couple flights and not have to go through a bunch of these systems or to call and have businesses such that we as human beings can move and live about the world while using a service that's costing the company a lot less money. And that's actually training AI on how to talk to and help human beings, which will then open up an entire world of using that language model to actually lower the barrier to entry for the very technical skills that will be required in the post-automation world. So I see it as two sides of the same coin. In order to automate the customer service conversations of billions of conversations, that unlocks now giving people the ability to program computers with their voice. That's a two-way road. And when I look at going back full circle to education system, things not really make a lot of sense, realizing it was built for the Industrial Revolution, realizing we're past that and accelerating even faster. I have grave concerns about this transition in society where a lot of people have only been trained to do a repetitive job, but that repetitive job is now going to be done cheaper. Now, what do you do? Do you try and stop the tsunami? No, it's one of nature's most powerful sources. I think we as humanity need to learn to ride that tsunami. And we're going to do that by building tools that improve the quality of life and decrease the cost of living.
Okay. Yeah, because you think of all these customer service jobs, all the people booking your airline flights, and if you could just shoot a text to somebody and get your flight booked, you know, multiple jobs eliminated, right? So then those people need to learn new skills, right? And or find, it's not even a customer service job. It's another type of job that maybe doesn't even exist today. Is that the train of thought?
100%. And now the cost of living actually gets less because the airlines don't have as much overhead. And with competition, now they can provide the same service for cheaper. And so I think the cost of living can actually get cheaper over time. Technology is deflationary. It should get cheaper.
Yep, should. But even now, it's crazy with the period we're living now. And even, you know, real estate's a great example of the massive rise of rents and costs and everything related, right? Construction. So it's like there's got to be this some sort of shift to help bring it back down. It's not going to just be interest rates. And maybe it's technology, but it sounds like, I don't know, how long are we away from, do you think we're away from that point that it's starting to have a material effect?
I think it compounds, right? It's kind of like the penny doubling every day in the early stages is there. It's just right now with this space, there's so much of like the intelligent energy put into AI is put into academics right now and trying to like figure out like with Google, like full stack everything solutions. But when you get to the bottom of it, these algorithms are black boxes and Brian won't be able to take that and train it for his company. He won't be able to say, hey, here's the specific policies. And so a lot of it right now is still theoretical. Mm-hmm. What we do is we look at what works and what doesn't work in that theoretical. We fill in the gaps and then we're focusing on building practical solutions. And rather than learning from reading a bunch of Reddit posts or trying to digest the internet, building an AI that's actually learning from having millions and billions of conversations, helping people get to where they want, is a very, very powerful model to have to continue to apply for the benefit of humanity rather than the detriment.
Yep, that's awesome. A couple more final questions for you and we'll get wrapped up. So where do you invest your money today? So you're making money through your different businesses. Is it real estate? Is it passive? Is it all in startup? What's it look like?
Yeah. So I bought a couple properties like creatively financed, subject to owner finance about 2.5 years ago, back when I was still wholesaling. And I've been selling those off just because they've appreciated and I don't think things go up forever. But from the standpoint of it, everything goes into my tech. Everything goes into my education. Everything goes into my network. For me, I am playing the game of, you know, active income right now, building an empire right now, realizing that, you know, a couple $100 a month from a property is a drop in the bucket compared to what's possible when what I work on, we scale it from the function of just the amount of value that the money that I put out into the world is creating. for people by improving their quality of life or decreasing their costs of living. And so for me, everything, it's just 100%
going back into the business. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. And then what does your team look like? Is it, I know you're based in LA. Is it a lot of people there, or you're all remote? What's that look like?
Yeah. You know, pros and cons, we're remote. I got a couple people in Arizona. I've got about five people here in LA. I got someone in St. Louis, somebody up in Canada, and somebody, an engineer down in Brazil. Bottom line, do I kind of wish we had an in-person kind of like, the Social Network type of vibe here? Yes, I think that'd be a lot of fun, but there's also realities and constraints that we've hired incredible talent from different corners of the world. And so we've got about 13 people, about six engineers, a couple admin office people, a couple salespeople, and a couple C-level people to be able to really drive the vision with me. So got a solid team again. So I wish we were in person. Yes. Am I putting together some badass, awesome in-person retreats for my team? Absolutely as well. I'm really looking forward to those, especially now that the pandemic is mostly over, I hear.
Yeah. How have you found in terms of managing a remote team? I know for a lot of people, it's totally different than in-person. I mean, we're kind of half and half for us. All of our, you know, obviously mechanics in the shop are all in person, but you know, we have a whole admin team that's all remote, and we're still kind of learning, right? Communications and follow-up. And it's different. It's a way different way of doing it. A lot of Zoom, Teams, et cetera. What does it look like for you in terms of what have you learned in terms of how to manage a team remotely?
Yeah, I think it makes it like much more binary in terms of the level of person that you need to have. And when I mean the level, I mean like their motivation, their passion, and the self-accountability that they're going to bring. If they're not there in the office, you know what I mean? You have to be very clear on instruction. You have to be very clear on what their KPIs should look like. And there's a lot of hard conversations we've had to let people go just because we didn't feel like they were showing up with a level of self-accountability that the rest of us were. And that's minimally required to get something off the ground or even run any business. So I would just say that increases the standard of people you need, but it also increases the area in which you can find them. Because I can get somebody from any corner of the globe rather than just my own metropolitan area. And so they kind of work hand in hand as long as you defend that standard. There's a lot of benefits to it. But again, there's serious constraints and problems that we're still working out ourselves.
Yep. Awesome. In terms of any books you could recommend that you've been reading lately that speak to your interests, or ones that have been, you know, life-changing or motivational to you?
Yeah. Stealing Fire is an incredible book that's kind of like the fusion between how Navy SEALs operate, how the smartest scientists operate, and then the effect that psychedelics have. And it's kind of this, it goes deep into this idea of a flow state and how you can tap into that in a way that's unique and specific to you, just to be able to take everything you're doing to the next level without requiring much more effort. It's really, really neat. And I think if, you know, everybody in the world read that and lived by the principles, we would have a much more creative and innovative society. So highly recommend Stealing Fire.
Awesome. Check that one out. Yeah. And then where can listeners connect if they're interested in learning more about you, your company, and what you're up to?
Yeah. So I'd say first, my site is titanx.ai. Feel free to reach out there, grab a time, check out our software if you're interested in feeling it out for yourself. Or if you want to get connected with me on a personal note, my Instagram is will.jbrown. Feel free to send me a message there. Let's connect.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming on and sharing all the awesome stuff you've been up to. I'm excited to kind of keep tabs on it and see where this goes.
Awesome. Likewise, Brian, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Will. That's all we got for this episode with the Business with Beers podcast. One thing that would really help both us and other new potential listeners is to rate the show and leave a comment in iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen. Also, make sure to link up with me on your preferred social media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find all my links at brianbeers.com. Please just share the podcast with anyone who you think might enjoy it. And until next time, remember to take the actions others won't to live the life that others don't.